Welcome to another installment of the Omnicare Clinical Nurse podcast series. Our goal is to touch on relevant topics that are common to the post-acute care setting. The clinical nursing team at Omnicare is comprised of mostly former post-acute directors of nursing, regional nurses, and infusion nurse specialists. My name is Kate Colby, an Omnicare clinical nurse and infusion educator, and I will be your host today. Joining us today is Barb McDonald, a clinical nurse with Omnicare. For today's topic, we will be discussing the importance of anticoagulant therapy, what it is, what to avoid, what to watch for, and what to report. Barb, thank you for joining us on today's call. Can you tell us a little about why this topic is so important to our listeners?
Sure, Kate. Thanks for having me. This is an important topic because the purpose of anticoagulation is to keep blood flowing smoothly in the body by decreasing the amount of protein substances which contribute to clotting in the blood. Some conditions that increase the risk of blood clots include a certain irregular heart rhythm called atrial fibrillation, heart valve replacement, recent heart attack, and certain surgeries such as hip and knee replacement.
So let's start by talking about one of the most common anticoagulants, warfarin. What kind of drug is warfarin and how does it work?
Warfarin is a drug used to treat blood clots and to prevent blood clots from forming. You may know warfarin by its brand name Coumadin and Jatovan. Its purpose is to help decrease the chance of stroke and heart attack. It is commonly called a blood thinner, but the correct term is anticoagulant. People taking warfarin need to have a regular blood test called an INR.
What exactly is meant by INR?
Yes, INR stands for International Normalized Ratio. It is a blood test that is used to measure how long it takes for blood to clot. The dosage of warfarin is based on the INR results. The physician should have an INR target range for each person started on warfarin. This range should be enough to reduce the risk of blood clots, but not so much to increase the risk of a serious bleed.
And why is the INR target important?
The INR target is important because along with the health condition, medications, and diet are factored into the choice of the target range. Some recommendations when beginning warfarin are to check the INR on day 3 of treatment, then day 6, and weekly thereafter. Once the range is stable, it is usually only checked every 28 days unless there is a change in condition. The risk of bleeding is increased if the INR is above the target or at 4 or above.
That's good information, Barb. I understand that there are certain foods to avoid when taking warfarin.
Yes, there are certain foods that can affect the INR results. Foods that are high in vitamin K can affect the INR. Some of these include broccoli, cabbage, Brussels sprouts, spinach, kale, liver, egg yolks, avocado, and green tea. Although the resident should not drink cranberry or grapefruit juice while taking warfarin. These can also increase the effect of the warfarin and increase the risk of bleeding.
Are there any other precautions one should take when on warfarin?
That's a great question. Yes, there are. It's very important to lower the chance of getting cut, bruised, or injured. Use great caution with sharp objects like safety razors and nail cutters. It's good practice to have the resident use an electric razor when shaving and a soft toothbrush when brushing teeth. If a fall occurs and the resident hits his or her head, it's important to call a physician immediately. People taking anticoagulants are at a greater risk of a brain bleed from a fall.
Yes, that's an important note. Are there side effects we should be aware of?
There are some general side effects such as nausea, loss of appetite, or stomach pain. It's important for the nurse to watch for nosebleeds that occur often or are hard to stop, unusual or easy bruising, prolonged bleeding from cuts or gums, and coughing up blood, passing blood through the urine or dark tarry stool or bright red stool. More subtle signs of bleeding may be headaches or dizziness. Any of these side effects should be reported to the resident's provider.
What about drug-to-drug interactions?
There are many drug interactions that can take place which may increase or decrease the effectiveness of warfarin. It's important to ensure that the provider is aware of all drugs and supplements the resident is taking. Some of the more frequent ones are herbal supplements, cannabis, penicillins, trazodone, carmazepine, sulcrate, NSAIDs, and higher dose aspirin. There are also many antibiotics that affect warfarin. It's important to note that when a resident is put on an antibiotic, it might require more frequent testing of the INR. As with food, it's important to remain consistent with taking and scheduling timing of medications.
We should also discuss alternative anticoagulant treatments. Can you tell us about these and their safety considerations?
Yes, and thanks for mentioning that, Kate. There are several alternative medications to warfarin for anticoagulation. Direct oral anticoagulants include Abaxaban, whose brand name is Eliquis, Rivaroxaban, whose brand name is Xarelto, Dabacanatran, brand name Pradaxa, and factor XA inhibitors, Fondaparin, brand name Arixta, and Betabaxaban, whose brand name is Bevix. Along with heparin and enoxaparin, whose brand name is Lovenox, are all commonly prescribed anticoagulants. Each anticoagulant has its own benefits and safety considerations based on what medical conditions are present, current renal function, indications for anticoagulation use, and potential drug-to-drug interaction with polypharmacy.
This has been great information about anticoagulant treatment. Key takeaways include ensuring monitoring is in place when starting and during the duration of treatment for each resident. Doses vary between residents, and their need for lab monitoring will vary because each person's body may react differently to anticoagulant therapy. Ensure your residents on anticoagulants have follow-up lab draws in their charts. It is important to teach your residents that they should be consistent with the types of foods they eat, especially leafy greens, and taking the same medications at around the same time each day. And last, if a resident falls, watch closely for signs of bleeding and always immediately report any injury to the head. That will wrap up today's discussion of anticoagulant therapy. Our goal is to help you provide the best possible care for your residents by providing the resources and education when and where you need them. Thank you, Barb, for joining us today and sharing your expertise and providing this valuable information for our listeners. I'd also like to thank everyone joining us today for this podcast. We truly hope that you've learned something and look forward to having you tune in for additional podcasts in the future. If any of our listeners have questions regarding the information that we discussed today, please reach out to your OmniCare clinical nurse or account manager. If you are interested in or are not familiar with OmniCare's vast array of services, please contact us at elearning@omnicare.com. Have a great day.